4PXB.
DXB, KI4DOS.
4PXB, yeah, I was just seeing Peter, and it was definitely quiet. I was hoping it was working good.
Seems to be pretty quiet today. I was just in here getting ready for the net and getting my stuff in order. Put some new batteries in my microphone, so I hope it's it won't give me any trouble tonight.
I'm on 85 and heading north, heading into the Simpsonville area, so I make this trip every day.
Make that trip every day, twice a day, you know, going to work and coming home to Easley from Greer area up there, Highway 101. And I feel for you, man. I really do. I hate that traffic out there.
Catch it just right. Then, because I leave at 4:30, but I'm having to leave a little bit later today. And I normally get off right there at Highway 14, so it, on good days, on most days, it doesn't back up that far.
The bad days, it backs up a long ways, don't it?
Does, and that's when I take the alternate route of going through 29 through Woodruff and going that route, or definitely going up 29 through Greer and going that way, or take the other way and 29 going through Greer and going through Woodruff. So there's definitely a few ways to get home. It just takes a little bit longer.
Go. Well, I hope you have a safe ride and no traffic tie-ups or anything like that. Have it be smooth sailing for a change.
I hope so. I guess at some point in time, I'd like to definitely get a little, my pilot license, I'll probably get a little helicopter or something like that where I could definitely just go to the airport and fly and have, because there's a little landing strip of some of my friends that live in that area, just land in that area and then just take that to work every day. It would definitely be a lot faster.
Well, maybe one of these days we'll be like the Jetsons and we'll have flying cars and stuff.
It will be nice. Like I said, I think I had a conversation with Patrick about this probably about a month ago. Because just imagine right now we have people that's driving while intoxicated. And just imagine them flying their personal vehicles while intoxicated.
In a flying vehicle is bad enough on the ground.
Definitely true. Just strictly joking around. We'll just leave that to the commercial pilots for now.
I don't blame you for that. I think the commercial pilots, you know, they've had a problem with them in the recent past, with them being intoxicated and everything else. It's got me not wanting to fly anymore.
Never can tell. The same way with just anything else, you never know what the condition of somebody behind the wheel is, or just at any point in time. That's why I talk to my wife every day that, you know, for them, the bad aspects of it, if they ever legalize marijuana, that way then you'll have people behind the wheel impaired in that aspect.
They're just now coming out with some of the long-term effects of smoking marijuana. I don't think that's going to be a good thing. You know, I hate it for the people that need it for medical reasons, and it helps them with pain and manage their medical problems. But at the same time, you know, as recreational, I don't think it's a good thing. But well, you know, I don't work down at the Puzzle Palace, so I don't have to worry about that too much.
Well, I said it's we just have to deal with that as it comes. So I know that being retired military and going through a lot of stuff that they mentioned, that to use the CBD oil and stuff like that, that will calm down and just kind of mellow you out, like I said, because, yeah, I'm always wound up tighter than a drum pretty much 24/7. But I said, well, because I hear everyone always tell me, well, why don't you just relax a little bit? say, well, it's spent so long in the military, being wound tighter than a drum is pretty much standard practice.
Lloyd, those folks that haven't been in the military don't know anything about it. And I didn't make a career out of it. I kind of wish I had in some respects. In other respects, I'm glad I didn't. But it's okay to. It is what it is. And but people don't understand when you're in the military that you do stay wound up all the time. And there's really no good way to relax other than just try to get away from it a little bit, and that's hard to do, too.
That's why it's a very horrible statistic that the two things people do in the military is they drink and they smoke, and so that's pretty much their relief of way of, you know, calming down and just forgetting about things for a while.
And like I said, I spent 6 years in the Navy. I was in the shipboard Navy for a while, and they put me on a destroyer, and I decided I didn't like that, so I got into Air Navy. I transferred and got into the Air Navy and flew and worked on the P-3 Orions. And now they've replaced that aircraft with the P-8 Poseidon. So it is what it is, you know, but I went somewhere today and lady had on my Navy veteran's hat that I wear, and she thanked me for my service, and I told her, I said, well, you know, you're welcome. It was an honor, and I'd do it again. And most people don't understand that, especially if they've never been in the military.
Definitely true. My brother's wife, when my wife was talking to her about some of the bad dreams that I have, you know, and she mentioned that when we were first getting together, that she obviously bumped me when I was sleeping, and I rolled over on top of her. I had my thumbs in the sockets of her eyes, and her ex-husband was in the Navy, and she knew a lot of Navy SEALs. She said they told her, if somebody ever does something like that, just calmly call their name and don't try to disturb them or shock them away, because you're already in a defenseless position.
My wife, when I was, I'd gotten out of boot camp and came home before I had to go to my duty station, and I had one of those bad dreams, and you know, you wouldn't think boot camp would give you bad dreams, but it did. Anyway, she reached over and did a no-no and woke me up, and it was not a good, not a pleasant thing to go through, but she learned from that experience real quick.
My sister-in-law, she was telling me that she just needed to leave me because of that situation, that there was no reason for her to have to put up with that going on. She said, well, he didn't do it when he was away, so he really doesn't know that it's what he was really doing.
Well, you know, people on the outside, they say, well, you need to leave him for that. And, well, not necessarily, you know. He told me, you know, he warned me that I shouldn't do, and I did it anyway, and so I learned from my mistake, and I'm sure he learned from his. So it's a crazy world out there, it really is.
Another odd thing is my wife actually recorded me when I was in my sleep, that I was speaking very fluent Arabic, but when I'm awake, I don't know a single word of it. And when she, like I said, yeah, she recorded it and took it to one of her friends that, you know, is not Arabic, but he knows Arabic language. And she, yeah, he said he's carrying on a full conversation, but when I'm awake, I have no idea.
Ever done anything like that, because I never learned any of the foreign languages. Got to go a lot of different places, but I didn't stay long enough to have to learn any of the language and that sort of stuff. Most people spoke English, and most places that I went spoke English anyway. But I mean, you go to the Philippines and places like that, they speak pretty well English, and you don't have to worry about a foreign language.
Made it to the Philippines. I spent 11 years in Germany, so I speak pretty fluent German. I said, then I know still a good bit of it now. And of course, it's always funny, the first parts of a language that you always learn is always the curse words.
Military, and it's, you know, the first thing you learn is the cuss words, which is not good. But get your point across, I guess, in a situation.
That's true. Because always, you can always use that international language of pointing at this, and that way you get your point across very quickly.
And, but, you know, that's one thing they told us in the military when we went to a different country. They said, you know, first thing you need to do is learn the cuss words. And he said, that way they'll leave you alone. That's not necessarily true, but anyway, you know, the military deal, and that's the first words you learn to speak.
And true, one thing that really shocked me is when you're out on the German economy or in the downtown, that they have a female that's in the restroom and she's standing by the sink or standing not far from you in the stall, and if you, you know, need a paper towel or something, she'll walk over there and hand it to you. It's like, it's definitely strange.
I got all over the South Pacific, and but I never got across the Atlantic. I was very fortunate in the places I got to go, and got to see a lot of things. I would have liked to have gone across the Atlantic and gone to Germany and Ireland and Scotland and places like that, but I didn't ever get across the Atlantic. So my wife and her IT job, she got to go across the Atlantic. So now between the two of us, we've been just about all the way around.
Time in Germany, I went to like 11 different countries in that area, so definitely had a great time, and I did what a single soldier was supposed to do in that area. I traveled instead of staying in the billets, and like I said, I did drink, like I said, but I never got to that point where I was, you know, did not enjoy myself or know, you know, my faculties to where I was, would get myself in trouble.
You stay out of trouble as best you can. And that way you don't have to worry about it. When we got over to Hawaii, they told us certain areas, stay away from these areas, you know, that way you'll stay out of trouble. You get in these areas, you are going to get in trouble.
That's definitely true. That same way when we went to Holland, they told us due to the fact that you can buy hash there, it's legal to buy there, but of course not for the military. And they mentioned, as soon as you get back from Holland, that you will get a urinalysis to make sure that you didn't smoke anything while you're there, so just don't do it if somebody offers it to you.
Well, that's a good thing, though. You know, the military's trying to take care of you. They want you to, you've got a job to do, and they want you to be able to do your job when the appointed time comes. Hopefully that time won't come, but it may, and they want you to be aware of what's going on. So I don't guess that's necessarily a bad thing.
When I was in Fort Stewart, the biggest thing they told people there, because it's, of course, part of the South and it gets very hot, to watch yourself around the lakes and stuff like that, not to get sunburned, because if you do get sunburned, then, of course, they can charge you with destruction of military property by getting the sunburn and being non-mission capable.
We got some strange rules, I guess, but they never told us not to get sunburned. Of course, you get out on a boat out there in the middle of the ocean, and the only thing you see is a piece of steel beneath your feet and a whole lot of water. you don't worry about getting sunburned too much.
Like I said, I only spent 3 months on a Navy ship when we were going out to the first war. That we had our equipment on the ship, so we had to make sure that it was secured 3 times a day. And I looked for so many fishing poles out there, but with all that water, and it just wasn't easy to find.
A real good friend, real close friend, that's is Marine. He was in the Marines, and he, of course, one is and one always is, whether it's Army or Navy or Marine. Once you've been in the military, that's what you are. And he calls me a taxi driver. He said, "Boy," he said, "y'all did good taxiing us to where we needed to be." And I give him a hard time about it, but he gives it right back, which is good.
You ever seen the Marines Air Defense Artillery? Standing in the field looking up at a helicopter going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh."
Go ahead.
Just a comment, WA4HNT. Have you ever seen the Marine Corps Silent Drill Team?
I've seen that one, but it's like I tell my buddy that's Marine. Marines are like a bunch of bananas. They all start out green, turn yellow, and die in bunches.
I understand. But if you haven't seen it, you go to your congressman, he'll give you a ticket to you. It's no big deal to getting a ticket to it. But you go out to 8th and I in Georgetown on a Friday night during the summertime, and you get to watch these people do unbelievable things and not make a sound.
For PXB, you can also go on YouTube and type in the that same thing, and you can definitely watch it online. It's definitely cool to watch.
I hadn't thought about doing that. I will do that tonight. I'm not a YouTuber or anything like that. I go to Facebook periodically, but I don't know how to do much more than that. But yeah, I'll try to get that done tonight. That'll be exciting.
I've watched a couple of them on the YouTube where that I would hate to be the people of that gym floor when those rifle butts were hitting the ground like that hard. I mean, it was definitely making a loud clack on that floor. Probably got quite a few scuffs and dents.
Good practice session, but I've seen the actual performance many times. And it just happens. You walk above the barracks at 8th and I behind the Commandant's home, and in a parade field, that's where it's done. And it's just the most amazing thing you've ever seen. I've seen some of the military bands perform, and they're really good. But this is, I think, top dollar. I mean, just absolutely beyond the word. It's really good to see.
Definitely something to watch. And pretty much falls into the same line of watching the changing of the guard at the Tomb of an Unknown Soldier.
Back in here, but I've done that. And I've done that a few times. And one day, it was cold. It seemed like it might have been November, maybe a little rainy and such. I don't recall it as clearly as I wish I did. But I remember a child. A little kid, maybe 3 years old, or just able to get out of his mother's arms good, went beneath the barrier. And I remember clearly what the Corps did. And it scared me standing on the sidelines, but their barrier had been breached.
Yeah, no, you don't cross that chain.
I'm sure he can still feel the tanning his dad gave him when they got back to the car. It was just one of those things, the child crawled between. But the proficiency of the guys that turned around, and it was an amazing thing, and it made you very proud of them. I know one of the former fellows who guarded the tomb, and I know a little bit about his private life. I've known him all of my life, but he's older than me, so I don't know him super well. Different peer group. But bless his heart, I've learned from him a few of the things they agreed to get to do that tour of duty. I mean, they get to do certain, but like no alcohol from that day forward passes their lips, supposedly. That's the understanding I have. And so, you know, you kind of go, wow, the things they give up just to go do that.
Thing that makes them stand or that they do wrong, yeah, they can definitely be relieved from the being the guard of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier?
Life obligation. That's what I understood. And which is cool to me that they would make such a commitment. That's a big one. And so, and when I found out, and this guy's, I know his history, I know his past. He saved his father's life when he was like 15, maybe. He was driving the truck. His father was on the combine. His father, like all farmers, went to kick the debris out of the way, and the damn machine liked to have eaten him. And had it not been for his son jumping out and running around and shutting everything down and getting emergency services, which in those days did not much amount to a whole lot, out there to take care of his dad, he would have lost his father.
Jump out of here. I've watched the changing of the guard of the up there at the Unknown Soldier, and that's an amazing thing to watch. And those guys do give up a lot, and my hat's off to them. I got to jump out of here, run in there. My wife's got supper on the table, so I'm going to go in there and eat and get ready for the net in a little while. Y'all have a great afternoon. Lloyd, you be careful on the ride home, and I'm sorry I don't remember the other gentleman's name, but y'all take care. We'll say 73 for now. KI4DOS.
KI4DOS, WA4HNT, Whiskey Alpha 4, Hotel November Tango. I'm one of those old guys. My handle is Alton Alpha Lima Tango Oscar November, and I'm cleaning out my mother's and daddy's house over in Pendleton.
Later this evening, about 9 o'clock, join us on the on this frequency at 9 o'clock for the net. And I've talked to you on there before. It's been a long time, though, but good hearing you. I'm going to go eat me some supper and feed my greedy worm. Y'all take care. 73, KI4DOS.
For me to come into the house, yeah, I'd bet a solid dollar on that one. Have supper at this hour. I'm going to go check on it. You folks have a nice evening. See you around that time. WA4HNT on the side.